This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Here in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia, it's our mission, our goal. Make you a smarter Buffalo Bills fan. Present you with all of the angles and talk to the best and brightest minds out there. That's why we invite in Jason Kirk from SBNation.com. Jason wrote a piece now that is a couple months old, right after the draft, right after the Buffalo Bills selected Josh Allen with the number 7 overall pick. The headline caught our attention. If Josh Allen succeeds, the Bills will have outsmarted basically all regular humans and the entirety of math itself. Jason Kirk, welcome into the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. How are you, bud?
Hey, I'm doing all right. How y'all doing?
Jason, just up front, you're in a safe, happy place. This is Western New York and Bills country, but we were kind of, you know, questioning the move for the Buffalo Bills to take Josh Allen. For folks that maybe aren't familiar with the piece, when you broke down the numbers, you did all the research, what was your general conclusion here on the Buffalo Bills' decision to draft Josh Allen at number 7 overall?
Well, I think we were prepared for it. You know, like those of us who observed this quarterback group, and you know, I primarily cover college football, so I've been watching it for 2 years, and so we were pretty prepared going in, knowing that he was, you know, going right around there. And it's funny, the post itself actually went up a few weeks before the draft, and then we sort of updated a little bit to make it more specific to Buffalo afterward. But I noticed the social media reaction before the draft. At one point, my name was trending in Buffalo because Bills fans were so nervous about, you know, drafting a player with this statistical profile, that like it really seemed like it was just destined Allen to the Bills, and that, you know, Bills fans would be pretty nervous about it based on his college production. But yeah, I mean, it came about from just being really puzzled by the NFL GM coach infatuation with Allen, which is obvious. You know, it makes sense. He looks like a quarterback. He throws like a quarterback, at least as far as distance goes. And then squaring that with not just what we saw in his games in college, but when you compare his numbers to past quarterbacks, no matter the conference, no matter the year, no matter what they did in the NFL, and just finding this huge gulf between those two things. Like, how do you square these two things? How do you square, like, you know, proven reliable, as reliable as it can be, statistical methods for evaluating college quarterbacks? Now they translate to pros, no perfect science, but as reliable as it can be, you know, comparing that to, you know, just assuming because the guy can throw very hard, you know, you're going to be able to turn him into a pro quarterback. You know, and it's just a fascinating distance between those two things, I guess.
Jason, I remember seeing your name trending prior to the draft, and I want to say that this piece, when it was circulating before the draft, it might have scared a lot of fans away from Josh Allen. And I find that we, not just this draft, but I think in years past and moving forward, we're going to be at this intersection where, you know, you've got the football guys, the GMs, the head coaches, the pro football scouts that you mentioned, the old school guys meeting with the new school guys, the eggheads, the data crunchers, the guys that are going to pick apart every statistical possibility you can. And this is where we're at. This is the intersection. We don't know who's right or who's wrong, but just a couple of things that I noted from the article that really, you know, gave me pause when figuring out that Josh Allen was going to be the Buffalo Bills quarterback, realizing that Allen was going to be the Bills quarterback. You know, we respect the numbers. I look at the numbers. The numbers are devoid of emotion. And when you see that based on a lot of the numbers that Allen's ceiling is Ryan Mallett, not his projection, but his ceiling is Ryan Mallett. Oh boy, what did the Bills get themselves into here?
Yeah, I mean, I tried to word it in a way where it's not, you know, I'm not making a prediction. I'm not smart enough to make a prediction. I'm not Mike Mayock. You know, I can't look at a guy's butt and tell you whether he's a Pro Bowler or not. what I can do is look at stuff that, like, has a decent track record. You know, the number you cited, the Ryan Mallett stat, like, we went back and found that however good you are as a quarterback in college, you will not be better than that in the pros. Unless you're just, like, this massive, massive, massive outlier who is breaking all the rules, you know. And there's another one in there where Football Outsiders, a longtime respected site, you know, they went back and found the most predictive numbers at the college level and, you know, combined that with the scouting consensus, you know, and it still spits out that, like, it just doesn't look good. And if he succeeds, which would be awesome, sure, that'd be great. But if he succeeds, he'll just be breaking so many trends. And, man, like I said, that's fascinating.
Yeah, and you know, of course, this is the time of year. It's a good counterbalance because everybody's excited when they see players in, you know, in shells and shorts, and they look great right now, and they'll look great in July as well. Our guest is Jason Kirk, writes for SB Nation here in the Sports Bar. In your piece, you cite the stat from Neil Hornsby of Pro Football Focus that talks about Allen against the blitz and his quarterback rating as compared to others. Mayfield being at the top at 139. Allen against the blitz, 73.4, which in the NCAA division, that's 17 points below the average Josh Allen. What do you say to the counter argument that, well, his senior year, he didn't have a lot going around him? The stats say one thing, but what did the film say? Is this what the Bills are talking themselves into when they look at the lack of help that Josh Allen might not have had around him?
Yeah, there were a lot of counter arguments along those lines, and there's something to them. You know, Wyoming isn't very talented by anybody's standard, but they're in the Mountain West, which is not exactly the SEC or the Big Ten, and they were not the least talented team in the Mountain West. They had an NFL draft pick the year prior at running back and at center. I can see a case for, you know, why his numbers fell a little bit heading into his second year as a starter. You know, he lost some tall wide receivers, lost some NFL talent, all that. It's just, to me, if you're a top 10, top 5 draft pick, you should be making up more difference by yourself. Unless they just figured out things that I haven't, which is highly possible. Along the offensive line thing, I think everyone agreed, you know, Louisville had a terrible offensive line for the last 2 years. Lamar Jackson put up massive numbers despite that, you know. And to me, I think if you're going to be drafted that highly, I think you have to produce at least at an above-average level, no matter what your shortcomings are, if you're going to stand out as a guy truly deserving of this kind of investment. But I'm not a GM, so what do I know?
Well, Jason, and it's funny, you know, we go back to the pre-draft, and I remember some of the mock drafts that came out, and Josh Allen was number one. He was the top prospect for Mel Kiper Jr. in his first mock draft. So did he just ignore all of the statistical data that exists, or what did he see that led him to that? And then, you know, you start to hear and see, you know, your Mayocks and your Kipers and the guys that kind of grab all the headlines with their projections. They kind of stick with their, I mean, are they more about defending their picks, or are they more about really trying to figure out who's going to land where for their source of credibility?
It's funny. I feel like everyone who's sort of in the draft media complex is kind of, they're kind of wearing a lot of hats at once. Like a guy like Kiper, is his job to project who will be good at the NFL level, or is his job to predict the NFL draft? You know
right.
What I mean? And to me, I think it's more the latter. And I think, you know, despite all the criticism that it's easy to give because it's an impossible thing to predict, I think he does a pretty good job. You know, and whereas Mayock, his job is more predicting he's going to be good, and I think he does a good job at that. It's when, you know, you hear an argument that feels like it was fitted retroactively to the, to fit a decision that was already made. Like if you're going to rank, for example, Allen ahead of Lamar Jackson, you can't say stats matter for one and they don't matter for the other. You can't cite Lamar Jackson's completion percentage and then ignore Allen when Lamar is facing far harder competition, is arguably at a greater relative talent deficiency teammate-wise. If you're basing it on his roster versus the roster he's facing, that kind of stuff, you can't just throw out numbers for one player and then cite them for another player. You know, it's frustrating to see that inconsistency applied. But, you know, nobody's totally consistent on everything, I guess.
Jason Kirk, SB Nation, our guest. Last year, you had a guy, Carson Wentz, actually 2 years ago, come out and, you know, do great things. And here he is, another small school prospect. I guess my question being, I understand that, you know, when you're comparing things, it's sometimes difficult. But how does Josh Allen compare to other small school prospects in your research, Jason?
I think you go back and you look, and Carson Wentz might be a big part of the reason why the Allen hype is so high. They are shaped similarly. They're from their schools are in, you know, remote locations. They have the same head coach, the same coaching staff. Like, there's a lot of ways to talk yourself into, oh, this dude is Carson Wentz 2.0. And I've seen that. I saw a headline that came out of Bill's OTAs, like, oh, he's just like Carson Wentz. Like, okay. But Carson Wentz in college, he completed passes. You know, he played at the FCS level, but his team won. He faced other really, really good teams at the FCS level, and he beat those teams. So to me, just based on that, that's a leg up over Josh Allen. You know, those two or three things right there. He faced teams that were comparable to his own team, and he completed passes against them. It's just that simple to me.
The biggest strength that you hear about Josh Allen's game is, oh, his arm strength. And there are plenty of stats out there in the NFL that show that, yeah, arm strength is nice, but really, how often are you throwing the ball? How often do you actually need to unload that arm? What did you find from that?
Right, yeah. How often do you see an NFL pass rush take 5 seconds to get there so your guy can get 70 yards downfield? Yeah. And, I mean, to me, the arm strength thing is, yeah, it's amazing. It's impressive. He might have the strongest arm ever. Very well might. But, like, didn't we say that about Kyle Bowler? Haven't we, you know, you go back and read like a Kyle Bowler scouting report, you'll swear you're reading the same thing over again. You know, the same defenses for the completion percentage. And, oh, his college offense was very complicated. And incredible athlete. Just needs to get in the right system and all this stuff, you know. That big arm, you know, like at the NFL level, you're going to use it more for like fitting into a tight sideline route, you know, like, you know, like getting a laser in through a tight area. Third and 13, that kind of a throw, not an 80-yard bomb. And to me, accuracy is at least as important as arm strength, even in that situation. So, like, the arm strength thing, to me, it's more, more a bonus on top than, like, a reason to really, 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 really like a guy.
Jason Kirk from SB Nation, the title of his article, Josh Allen Succeeds, the Bills have outsmarted basically all regular humans in the entirety of math itself, our guest here in the sports bar. Jason, I think your article speaks to the bigger, and this is the storyline we see now in sports, the old school, new school, the stats versus the scouts. I'm just curious because you get this argument every once in a while from the old school guy. Wow, you don't know football, or you didn't play football. How could you know? Did you get any negative feedback from the old school, so to speak, when your article came out?
Not really. And honestly, one thing that I tried to do in there is early on, I tried to include a few opinions from people who did play the game. I think I included a tweet by Jeff Schwartz, who used to play offensive line in the NFL, where he compared Allen to, it might have been Jake Locker, mm-hmm. You know? So, like, hey, if he says that, I can say this, you know what I mean? like, if the big guy said it, then I can say it too, I guess.
Right. Jason, it's hard to compare one player to another because every situation is different. Every player is different. One of the names that comes up in NFL folklore is a guy who didn't have a great college career, but of course turned in a Hall of Fame career, is Brett Favre. Now, you can't really compare Brett Favre to Josh Allen, two different kinds of players. But you know, are even stories like that enough to make a football guy say, you know what, we believe we can make something out of this guy?
Sure. And I mean, I think a football guy will always, like a coach will always trust, like, all right, we can work with this, you know? And to me, on the one hand, that's awesome, that's great, I hope it works. And the other, that could be the reason every 5 or 10 years we see a similar quarterback prospect emerge, you know? And it's hard to go back and compare Brett Favre because it's like a massively different era.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, if it works, awesome, great. That's good for Allen, good for Buffalo, good for New York, good for Wyoming, good for everybody.
Hey, Jason, since you do cover the college game, I'm curious. You know, we spent some time yesterday, and we don't have to spend a ton of time talking about this, but I want to throw you a little bit of a curveball and just get your opinion on Jameis Winston, just because here we are, Tampa Bay, you know, facing a three-game suspension. You've got a quarterback who you knew had character issues in college. Looks like some of those character issues have continued, and, you know, he just might be dumb. We don't know. But you're going to be faced with the decision, if you're Tampa, what to do with him in his fifth-year option. Is it possible that Tampa could actually say, you know what, we're good. We're not going to pick up the fifth-year option on Jameis Winston, or they stick with the program because, let's face it, you know, this will be, you know, another year, you've got 3 years under your belt and a small sample size. How long for some of these prospects out of college with all the talent in the world, like a Jameis Winston, to finally emerge and live up to that expectation in the NFL?
Man. So, yeah, when Jameis headed to the NFL, it was kind of like, well, you know, it's somebody else's, you know, somebody else's story to figure out now.
Right.
You know, so in that way, it was kind of like, I don't want to say a relief or whatever, but, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it's a big complex situation that we have passed on to someone else, you know. But I have seen, you know, Tampa people both in and out of the media arguing that, like, it might be time to cut loose. It might be, you know, at the next opportunity, it might be time to cut him loose, you know. Without knowing too many of the exact specifics of the current situation, which, as I understand it, if, like, the worst version of it happened, then I would find it very defensible to let him go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if, you know, if the story played out his way, then I guess that would be a whole other decision. But, he's been a tough thing to figure out for, you know, a tough person to figure out for going on.
What does it come down to, Jason? Does it come down? I mean, how important is character, especially when you're talking about quarterbacks? Because I think of a guy that was taken right next to him, and there'll be a line forever in Marcus Mariota. He gets his team to the playoffs. They actually win a game. I mean, you want your guy to be smart. You want your guy to be a leader. And Jameis might be, you know, an emotional leader for that team. But, you know, again, we see time and time again, he might not be mentally there all the time. I mean, you know, we always talk about the debate between talent versus character, and you see a lot of it firsthand covering college football and these prospects coming out of college. What side of the fence is more important?
Well, I mean, you know, based on college production, these are two of the most talented, you know, talented on-field players ever. You know, Jameis, when he was at his best, was an absolutely incredible college pro-style quarterback, you know, and it's just been a long, long ongoing thing with, the wrong headlines, staying out of trouble. Obviously, it's especially tricky to talk about because, you know, to this point, it's not like there's been an incident that's like, okay, he was, you know, absolutely caught doing something he absolutely shouldn't have been doing, you know, other than like, you know, robbing a Publix or whatever,
mm-hmm.
whatever that was. But there's so many situations where it's like, well, he might have made a horrible decision here. He might have done something horrible. And, you know, at some point, you know, if you're in charge, some point those things just add up, you know. And, yeah, I mean, if, like I said, if they were to move on from him soon, I don't think, you know, too many people would find a whole lot of fault with that.
Jason Kirk, college football editor. Let me throw you a curveball here as well, Jason. Well, we were talking fantasy football. Might as well talk a little college football 2018. And since we were talking about last season's draft class, give us an idea. Who are some quarterbacks that college football fans should keep their eye on when the season begins here in just a few months?
Well, so last year's draft was sort of the quarterback draft, and this one's going to be like the defensive line draft.
Mm.
But as far as quarterbacks go, I think Jake Browning from Washington probably coming out. Trace McSorley from Penn State, another guy's really good. A lot of fun. Those kind of guys would probably be two of the bigger names. Off the top of my head, there's a lot of young quarterbacks right now, so those might be the two like sort of stars at the front of the line as far as big names go.
Jason, I want to give you plenty of time here as we wrap up. Let us know what you're working on over there at SB Nation this summer.
Well, right now, you know, it's getting into season preview mode, college football season coming up. Putting together that stuff. We've just done our colleague Stephen Godfrey has just put up a big, big exploration of the Ole Miss NCAA case. If anyone is into, you know, NCAA, how college sports actually work, the dirt, the real stuff. We did a long-form feature and a TV series on that. So if anybody wants to check that out, I'm sure you'd like it.
Jason, appreciate your time. And I guess we'll find out 5 years down the road. Well, let's have you on the show here when we get to that fifth-year option talk about Josh Allen here, how it all plays out in Buffalo.
Yeah, for sure. And and good luck to everyone there.
Jason, appreciate your time as always, buddy. Thanks for joining us here in the Sports Bar. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Jason Kirk, SBNation.com. Hey, listen. You can't argue the numbers. The numbers are the numbers. The stats don't have any emotion attached to them. They don't have any preconceived notion. And his article lays it out. Statistically, it's a tough sell. Gene, this is what you were worried about before they selected him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it was all there. And you want to talk about the outlier? If this works like the Bills hope, yeah, this will be the outlier. But we've had other people that have gone the complete other direction. They've gone the Mayock way on us, saying this guy is going to be great. He's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Oh, here it is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, folks.
Oh, come on. We need that one.
I mean, is there anybody like it?
That's for you, Michael. Michael on Twitter requesting the hits. Did he say that Mayock can tell if a guy's going to be a Hall of Famer based on his butt?
Yeah.
He said that. Yeah. I like Jason Kirk. I like that guy. If you missed that conversation, we'll have it for you on demand shortly at ESPNRochester.com. Gino, what do we do? I'll drink to that next. How about that?
Yeah, I'm ready. I have an update here. Well, a lack of an update, but I'm going to give you what I know and what it will mean for in terms of the Nighthawks and the National Lacrosse League. Also, there's a trend going on when it comes to football and the way it's televised across the networks. I'm not talking about the streaming thing. I'm talking about something else, and I think it's not good for the NFL. I'll explain my position.
I got a couple of thoughts on the World Cup as well. We'll share that with some provocative thoughts from around the world of sports. I'll drink to that is next in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action from AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester. The all-new ESPNRochester.com is the online home of the sports leader. Listen live 24-7. Read up on the latest Bills and Sabres news. Hear the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On demand. Score stories, opinions, and contests. The all-new ESPNRochester.com. The online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.